you.
And also with you.
Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you today. Glad that you made it through the snow and the prolonged winter. All I can say is it is February and spring is coming, believe me. Just don't pay attention to that the next 7 to 10 days. Our pre-Lent time is upon us. We have 3 weeks where we get a chance to kind of ease into our Lenten preparation. And each one of these Sundays ties in very, very well with the solas of the Reformation. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, on account of the person and work of Jesus Christ alone, as revealed to us in the Bible, Scripture alone. To God alone be the glory. And today, everything in our service will focus on that word, grace. We hear it a lot. We're in favor of it. But we pray that God would bless us so that this grace would not become a stumbling block for us. We pray that God would bless us to that end today. A couple of words on our worship service for today. Our opening hymn, number 555, Salvation Unto Us Has Come. We'll sing the first 5 verses. We'll pick up the next 5 for our hymn of the day, the sermon hymn. Following that opening hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. Our focus will be on the gospel reading, the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And as I said, we're kind of easing into our Lenten journey. And so the only thing you'll notice today is the Alleluia and the verse is omitted in our worship service. Everything else will be the same. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this opportunity to be in your house. We thank you most of all for the gift of your grace. Jesus, living, dying, rising, forgiving, all out of your great love and mercy. Heavenly Father, there is nothing good that lives and dwells in us. There is no way that we could earn or merit your favor. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the gift of grace. Heavenly Father, teach us how to live in the confidence and comfort and peace that is your grace in Jesus Christ. It's in his powerful and precious name that we worship and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 555, verses 1 through 5.
Salvation of God.
Divine Service, Setting 3, page 184. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth?
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for you, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, the innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time I invite you to turn to our bulletin insert. We'll sing together the introit.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequence of our sin may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for Septuagesima is from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah, because of the grumbling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak now the gradual appointed for today.
The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble, and those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat?" But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Do you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do with what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess now our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and his Son, who with the Father and his Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for our sermon, hymn number 555, verses 6 through 10.
Thank you.
love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Text for our meditation, the gospel reading from Matthew 20, especially these words. Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. Please be seated. Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works could not avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. That verse of that hymn paints for us the picture, the conundrum, the problem, the seeming contradiction that we have laid before us today in God's Word. We are saved by God's free grace and favor. Every Lutheran, pretty much every Christian, would agree with that statement. We are saved by grace. One of the great rallying cries of the Reformation, sola gratia, grace alone, grace alone. And a little bit later in our hymn, it says, faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. So, we're saved by grace. Jesus paid for the sins of the whole world. You see where this is going? Then how come everyone isn't saved? Why do some people believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and others do not? This is called, in Latin, the crux theologorum, the theologian's cross. There is no answer. There is no answer. Why some and not others? And when you try to fix or answer that question, you go down crazy rabbit holes of false doctrine that you cannot return from. God's Word clearly teaches universal grace. Jesus has paid the sin for all people for all time. God's Word clearly teaches that we are saved by grace alone. To God alone be the glory. When someone believes, God gets all the credit. When someone rejects or doesn't believe, that person gets all the blame. There's a tension, almost a contradiction, between the fact that God has paid for the sins of the whole world, universal grace, and the fact that each one of us is called, chosen, elected, predestined by grace. So, what are we going to do with it? Well, when we try to answer these kind of questions from our own mind or from our own heart, we always get in trouble. The key, as always, is to turn to Christ and His Word. God wants all people to be saved. You cannot hear that enough. God desires that all people believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Everyone needs it. Everyone fell into sin through the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve. Through their act of disobedience, the whole world, including every human being, was plunged into sin and all of the terrible consequences of sin. Instead of knowing God perfectly and walking with God perfectly, sin, lust, greed, selfishness, evil desires now become the norm. When we talk about doing what comes naturally to us is sin. Because we were born inheriting sin from our mom and dad and their mom and dad all the way back to our first parents. God's word that we'll be studying a little bit later in Bible study from Romans 3 teaches this clearly. There is no one righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have all together become unprofitable. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Romans 3, 10 to 12. This universal problem requires a universal answer. God wants everyone to be saved. This is why God, in His love for mankind, His love for the whole world, sent Jesus into the world. The second person of the Trinity, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, leaves His throne above, takes on flesh and blood, and makes His dwelling among us. Jesus Christ places Himself under the law that crushes us. But the law does not crush Jesus. Instead, Jesus keeps it fully, perfectly, for you and me and for the whole world. Jesus takes every sin, past, present, future, for all people, for all time, onto Himself as He bleeds and dies on Calvary's cross. He does this for all people, not just a select few. Jesus pays the penalty for sin. He offers up Himself to His Father as the life-giving sacrifice for sin. Jesus doesn't demand a ransom for this salvation that He has won. He gives it away. He gives it away full and free as we hear the good news of the gospel, as the good news of the gospel wraps us in the robe of Christ's righteousness, the waters of holy baptism, is put into our mouth, pumping in our veins in the Lord's Supper. God delivers the deliverance to us, full and free. Jesus takes His disciples as representatives of the whole church, and He says, go out into the whole world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing, teaching everything that I have said. Go. Why does He do this? Because God wants all people to be saved. John the Baptist pointed at Jesus, and he taught us. He taught us universal grace. Behold, John says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He doesn't say who takes away the sin of Lutherans, who takes away the sin of those that really try hard. He takes away the sin of those who put a lot of money in the collection plate. He doesn't take away the sin of those who have tried really hard to be good people and keep the commandments and ask him into his heart by praying the sinner's prayer. God's grace is universal. God's call, the gospel call, goes out to all people without exception. This is what our parable is about. When we start trying to use the parable of the workers in the vineyard to teach us any other kind of thing, we miss the point. We miss the point. The kingdom, or the vineyard, is a church. The gospel call goes out as it has gone out and will continue to go out until Christ returns again in power and might and glory. The call goes out without exception to anyone who is standing idly by and not working. The call goes out early in the morning. The call goes out later in the morning. The call goes out in the middle of the day. The call goes out in the middle of the afternoon. The call goes out at the last hour. The gospel call goes out without fail. Why? Because God's grace is universal and he wants all people to be saved. He hires the people without exception. He hires the people without conditions or strings attached. And everybody that is hired is treated exactly the same. Their pay is exactly the same. That's the church. It matters not if you've heard the gospel call at the baptismal font as a tiny little infant, or later on in life, or anywhere in between. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. Everything that God has is yours. Everything that Christ has earned is yours. God's grace is universal. But our text doesn't stop there, does it? The last words of our text. So the last will be first. The first will be last. God's word teaches us that many are called. Few are chosen. My friends, God's grace is universal. He desires all people to be saved. But the people who are not saved because of anything that they do. They are saved by God's, ready for this, grace alone. They are saved because God chose them. They are last. God puts them first. God chooses his children. They do not choose him. Nobody in our parable walks into the vineyard and demands a job. They are invited. They are called. They are chosen. And when they are invited, they find the work pleasant. No chore at all. God's word teaches us, Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. My friends, that's how it is for those who live under grace. They work.
They work in the vineyard. They work because they get to. Not because they have to or because they want to. They work for the pure love of it. Those who are working to gain God's favor work long, hard hours and whine and complain every step of the way. They resent it. They grumble. They have no joy because they do not know what the grace of God is. Those who are set free from the burden of sin, death, and the grave live under grace and all of life, including service in the church, is a joy, a pure joy. Why? Because they know their sins are forgiven. They've been set free, free to live, free to love, free to serve. Who did it? What God did. God chose them. What did they do to bring this about? Nothing. They were lost, and now they're found. They were on the outside looking in, and God brought them in. They were dead, and God made them alive. My friends, you were lost, and now you're found. You were on the outside looking in, and God invited you in. You were spiritually dead, and God has made you alive in Jesus Christ. Why? Because He loves you. The love of God prompted Him. Nothing more and nothing less. From the promise of a Savior, to the sending of a Savior, to the death and resurrection of Jesus, to the washing of regeneration and renewal in the waters of holy baptism, to the words of absolution, to the gift of the Lord's Supper, to God's promise never to leave you or forsake you, pure grace, pure love of God. And then God lets you in on a little secret. This has been God's plan for you all along. What? Before He dug the hole for the ocean, before He put the stars in place, before the foundation of the world, God chose you. What? How can this be? Grace. Pure grace. Pure love. Pure comfort. Pure joy. St. Paul says it this way in Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Everyone who is saved is not saved because they chose God. They are saved because God chose them. God chose you. Those who are called are justified. Those who are justified are glorified. Those who are called, justified, and glorified are eternally elected, predestined by God, chosen by God before time began. Chosen. Elected, saved by grace alone. Does your head hurt? How can this be? God has prepared salvation for all people. God desires all people to be saved, and yet only some are called or chosen. That's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing if we try to understand the how and the why. If we submit to God's word and the scriptures, which are inspired, inerrant, and infallible, we trust in a God who cannot lie. And we know and we believe that our salvation is full and free. It's called a paradox. Two things that don't seem to fit together that are true. We hold them in tension, and if we emphasize one side over the other, we always get ourselves in trouble. Some people try to resolve this paradox or this tension by denying universal grace. They say Jesus didn't die for everybody, only a few, only some. What a horrific way to look at the gift of Jesus Christ. The vast majority who do not like and cannot stand this paradox try to resolve it by denying grace alone. They say there is some reason inside of the human person why they are saved and someone else is not. They tried harder. They resisted less. They made a conscious decision. They sinned less. Or their parents sinned less. My friends, God's word is clear. Jesus tells us in John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." So, why do some hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and remain faithful to Christ and his word throughout their entire life until the day they die? Pure grace. Grace alone. God called them. God chose them. Luther says it this way: "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and keeps me in the one true church." My friends, today, God's word is teaching us grace. Pure grace. Universal grace. Jesus paid for the sins of the whole world. God saved you by grace alone. God chose you. My friends, our parable teaches us really three kinds of people. The people who are outside the kingdom, outside the vineyard, couldn't care less, and when the gospel call comes, they stop up their ears. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to believe it. I don't want to go to work. There are people who hear the gospel call. They come into the church outwardly, but not inwardly. There are lots of people, reasons why people join the church. A lot of them good reasons that have nothing to do with Jesus. A good social club. My friends are there. Gives me something to do. Moral guidance. All kinds of things. All kinds of things that have nothing to do with Christ and Christ crucified. People that have come into the church outwardly but not inwardly whine and grumble and complain. because they see their service only as trying to earn favor with an angry God. This is what the master in the vineyard says. Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Take what belongs to you and go. He could have just as well said, go where you want to go. Go to hell. But our parable teaches us most of all that there are those who come into the church because they know their sin and they know their need for a Savior and they know they cannot save themselves and they know the love of a God who loves poor, miserable sinners. They know Jesus and the forgiveness that only He can bring. My friends, if you think very little of yourself and your self-esteem is not quite as high as all the mental health experts say it should be, if you regret that you have fallen short of the glory of God, what God requires of you, don't look to yourself. Look to Jesus. Look to Him who has never failed. Look to Him who grants you His success. Look to Him who has never sinned. Look to Him who has overcome sin, death, and the grave. Take Him at His word when He promises forgiveness, life, and salvation. My friends, God has chosen you. And it's the only choice that really matters. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we sing, create in me a new heart, a clean heart, a living heart. Page 192, please stand. Seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Many times when we have a question that we ask of God and it is not answered, it's not because there's a problem with God, it's because there's a problem with our question. Thanks be to God who has saved us by grace and grace alone. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the gift of God's grace would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
We continue with the prayer of the church. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, responding, Lord, have mercy. For the faithful proclamation of Christ's saving name, that God's people may be strengthened in the true faith and his kingdom extended, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian church throughout the world and for all who confess the name of Christ, that God would guard and defend us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, its mission, and its people, for the ability to meet the needs that arise as we do the work God has given us to do, and for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the educational institutions of our synod, for our preschools, day schools, high schools, colleges, and universities, especially for Good Shepherd Lutheran School, and for our seminaries, that those who teach and those who learn in them would be transformed by the wisdom of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who partake this day of Christ's holy body and blood, that in their eating and drinking they may receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins, the renewal of life, and have a foretaste of the feast to come, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who have wandered from the faith, that the Holy Spirit would use us to call them home to the Father, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the government and all of those who have been set into positions of leadership, that they may use the authority entrusted to them honorably and for the good of the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who serve in worthy occupations, professions, arts, and sciences, that God would grant them skill and integrity in the performance of their responsibilities and valued service through their vocation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer from hunger, homelessness, poverty, or unemployment, that God's great mercy and love would preserve and relieve them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the faithful, that the Spirit would lead them to cheerful, generous giving from the bounty the Lord provides to support the church and to help those in need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick, especially those in our own midst, including Laverne, Lucas, Victor, Matthew, Lois, Ralph, Pastor Russert, Brian, Pam, Ken, Harlan, and all others whom we name in our hearts, that God would grant healing to their bodies and strength to bear their infirmities with patience and grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who mourn, especially the family of Pastor Mark Schlamann, whose grandfather was taken to his eternal home recently, that in their time of sorrow they would not lose hope, but rely on God's promise that he will never leave them nor forsake them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who rejoice in the rich blessings of God, especially those from Good Shepherd this week, celebrating the birth of new children, including the Caldall family at the birth of Lillian, the family of Derek and Kelsey Mick at the birth of Harrison, the family of Eric and Jenny Prenasol at the birth of Ryan, and the family of former vicar Marcus and Jill Williams at the birth of Joanna, that they might always remember the giver of every good gift and give him heartfelt thanks, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously hear our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen. Please stand as we sing. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
We remain standing for our closing hymn.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Kids, you can go get some goodies. We'll be back in here for our Sunday school opening in about 4 or 5 minutes or so. You're all invited for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We have two opportunities for Bible study today. Continue our look at the book of Romans in the fellowship hall. We're right smack dab in the middle of Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Pastor, what are you studying today in Summary of Christian Doctrine?
We're going to try and wrap up the Lord's Supper and then just move into the last things we have to talk about, the end of the world and just minor things like that.
Okay, yeah, minor things like the end of the world. So, okay, that's room 109 and Lord's Supper and last things, eschatology, winding down with that Summary of Christian Doctrine class as well. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. The activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. One is not listed on the front cover, and that is the blood drive that we have here tomorrow. And I know the weather's been kind of goofy the last few days, but we are planning on having the Red Cross blood drive here tomorrow from 11:30 until 5:30. 11:30 until 5:30. The best way to do it is to go to the Red Cross website and pick a time that's convenient for you. You can just show up. Might have to wait just a little bit to get in, but we pray that this would be a great blessing for the community and for the world, and prayerfully consider how you can support. We'll set up some tables and chairs after Bible study. Help me remember that. As well. A week from today is the KNNA radio fundraiser downtown at the Apothecary. Details are in the news and notes. Jim Kirk is sitting at the table. I see his bright head out there. Yeah, he's waving. And we've got a few spots left. And I think today is the last Sunday we can buy tickets. Through Wednesday, somebody just said. Whatever. Okay. All right. Today is the last Sunday you can buy tickets, but they'll still be available through Wednesday. And you can check out the rest of the stuff in there. Pastor, anything else you want to?
Back in the room 106, I believe, we are taking pictures for the church photo directory. If you haven't gotten those taken, please wander down there. I think it's been going fairly smoothly. This week, we're taking pictures still during this Bible study hour. Next week, we'll take them starting about now all the way through until after the second service. And then also on Ash Wednesday, we'll be having pictures too. We'll have stuff if you need to remove a cross from your forehead to get your picture taken. We'll have that ready to go. We're trying to get all the pictures done during the month of February and Ash Wednesday, if possible. So if you need to grab your kids out of Sunday school for a couple of minutes, please do that, but help us by getting those pictures taken.
Okay. All right. Very good. We're not going to let Vicar talk. Coffee and goodies, Bible study in the fellowship hall. Please join us. Careful out there. They did a great job with the snow removal, but it's still a little bit slick. God's blessings in His grace.